This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Without wasting much of your time, allow me to invite Apostle Edu to the podium. Thank you. Come on, put your hands together.
Hallelujah. Amen. The good people of Zambia, is an honor once again to stand before you. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Once again, I salute your hunger for God. My prayer. And believe me when I say my prayer, it's my prayer that God indeed will meet you at the point of your need and hunger in Jesus. Human beings might not see you, but God is seeing you where you are. And don't even bother yourself whether you are in front, whether you are, doesn't matter. For many years of my life, I was in programs where I was not even close to the action. I slept on outside the hall on the cold for many days. But the hand of God is there. The scripture said in the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, he said that an instruction was given to the angel with the ink horn, and he said, move through the length and breadth of the city and put a mark on them that groan and sigh for the state of the land and the city. Put a mark. Believe it or not, this is what we have seen for long, but I'm just telling you, I'm using scripture to tell you what is happening in the spirit, because many times people can, the best way to stay accurate in communicating the prophetic word is to stay within the context of the scripture. But if you are intelligent in the spirit, you will know the person is not quoting scripture for you. He's just using the Bible to bring to you the economy of God that is made available for the moment. Angels with ink horns putting marks on people. I pray that a mark will be put on you for an encounter in the name of Jesus. There are categories of encounters. Every encounter is not at the same level. There is an encounter you will have as you are living. Even the people that knew you before you came, they will testify that something has shifted. There is so much fire here. If you are diseased, you are afflicted, demons are troubling you, all these, they are not an issue. I know you will not believe me. It takes more energy in the spirit to bring you to the place of your destiny than to cast out demons. It takes a lot of energy to make the Peter that denied Jesus the leading apostle of his day. It takes a lot of things happened. Can we pray for 1 minute and ask God? Let it not be that I'm here physically, but I'm not there in the spirit. The truth is that there is a spiritual location too, beyond this physical location, where the experiences of God are made manifest. So you can be here and you are not where the encounter is taking place. The scripture said when Jesus took three of his apostles, Peter, James and John, and took them to the mountain, that mount of encounter, the scripture said they were on the mountain. Yeah, you are here. This is a spiritual mountain. But the scripture said when the encounter started happening, Jesus was in the glory. They were outside. Though on the mountain, but they are outside of the glory. Meanwhile, the voice and the encounter of their destiny was within the glory quadrant. You have to find yourself within the glory. Yeah, you are on the mountain. It's good. That is the first step. But there is something that needs to happen now when you pray in the next 1 minute. You will ask God, bring me to the glory quadrant. Can you pray in the next 1 minute? Suferia peria campelatas. Shepria kapatampela. Zapate aparanteka. Ia papapampe. Sapapataria. Somebody pray. Somebody pray! Somebody pray.
Oh, Something is coming. Sister, pray.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You can be seated. Join me in the next 10 minutes. There is nothing serious that God can do without a very large investment of prayer. The problem with a generation is that, sir, they have been taught that the purpose of prayer is to receive things. I want to put it to you that don't worry, sit. The purpose of prayer is not first to receive things. Maybe if I have time on the course of this program, I will show you the 7 purposes of prayer. The last amongst it is to receive things. Unfortunately, people has made the receiving of things the basis of priesthood. One of the major reasons why people are making prayers an avenue to just receive things is because they have not understood, or they have not been brought into the unbroken nature of the things that God makes or that God has made. Listen to me now. You will never be able to understand how God works and the emphasis he places on certain things and the exact purpose of those things if you don't know how it was before the fall of man. Have you eaten apple before? Apple. How did it taste in your mouth? Great, right? That apple is a fallen apple. You have not really tested the apple that was not subject to the fall. Are you seeing the challenge? Several things that we see upon the face of the earth, it are things that we are subject to the fall. And the implication of it is that we have not really seen it the way God made it. If it was according to God's plan, the things we bring to God in prayer wouldn't have been a prayer point. The question is this. Are you with me? Follow me now. If you don't have what you call your needs, does it mean you don't need to pray? That is what Jesus is trying. Jesus said, Jesus came and made profound statements when he was alive. And many times we just drop the statement and leave. Because he knows that considering what you have suffered, sir, since you were born, there are several things we can bring as the perspective of the kingdom and heaven. Your natural man will fight with it. Because you have been groomed by circumstances, the things you saw and passed through, to assume that this is how things are supposed to be until they take you to heaven. And that is why no human being will be able to successfully execute his destiny and his ministry until God brings to you an encounter. Cry for encounter. Don't continue like this. The life of an average human upon the face of the earth is moving in a vicious cycle. I can prove it to you. What you are doing is what your father did. You know that you are doing it in 2023. Go and ask somebody like Solomon. He has told us, but we don't believe it. I know you don't believe it. You are still hustling. Sorry, I don't know. Do they use the word hustling here? Okay, you are still hustling for certificates. Hustling. I can even be hustling for a big ministry. I can even be hustling for crowd. We don't know what is priesthood.
The one with the strongest priesthood is not necessarily the one with the crowd. That's very, very important for you to know. There are several things that can draw crowd, including food. I'm not the one that said, it's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. Jesus shared food and 5,000 came. Jesus turned to them and said, I know why you are here. You are here because of free food. Aye. People like free food. Free things, free things. Somebody chatted me the other day on social media, I think yesterday, and said, Apostle, welcome to Zambia. Where I am is very far. It's transport fare. You see, they are looking for free things. People like free things. They don't want to pay any price. In fact, the way the other young man is saying, he wants me to come to his door. I don't know where he is. To just knock at his door and say, I am here for you. It will not happen. Do you know Jesus sat on boats to preach to people? He crossed over. They crossed over. Let me tell you, this is just an advice. There might be scriptural support, but I don't have time for that. Listen to me. Until you see God at the cost of several things, you will not find him. Anybody that is seeking God on surface level will not find anything deep. Even if your generation comes for that surface level thing you collected, as after some time, their hearts will be crying for something deeper. There is something in the heart of a man, sir. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes said. He said he has set eternity in our hearts. That means what can satisfy the heart of a man is something that is coming from eternity. Only eternity can satisfy eternity. It was Solomon that came and told us, my brother. Solomon came and told us that life is a vexation of spirit. You see, but I know you will not believe it. That life, you are just disturbing yourself by living this physical earth. Don't live as a normal human life. The humorous life doesn't rate for anything when they open the books of your destiny. This human life. Your life starts when you start living the scrolls from heaven. And what happens in meetings like this is that people are intelligent enough to download scrolls and unseal them. Okay, listen. Several seasons of your life is contained in a scroll. I'm not saying just you, including Jesus, your Savior. Hebrews chapter 10. He said, I come in the volume of the what? Books. It is written of me. Wow. So the things that God is interested in when you are upon the face of the earth are the things written about you. Any other thing you did, any other way you lived, they are not aware. You see, God is not moved though. That's the problem. You come and tell God, I have been in this for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. God is not aware. A day is like 1,000. 1,000 is like a day. How long have you spent? Is it up to 100? So God has not even rated you as I've spent one day before him. So you come and tell him, God, I'm getting old, I've not married. They say, have you lived a day? You see it. Meanwhile, when you leave your scrolls, you don't live by physical days. You live by the rating of the spirit. If you live that way, you appear like Jesus and say, before Abraham I was, these people crucified him. Because they don't understand from whence he was speaking from. The things written about your destiny, you don't touch it by just claiming, name it and, sorry, this is faith, you know, but it's not, faith is not name it and claim it. Lord, I claim an overflowing blessing this year. I will wait for you next year. Nothing will change. You just watch it and see. When will you wake up and tell yourself the truth? These things aren't working. You are getting old. When God give you,
every assignment is time-based. Listen, there are times if he pass you, several seasons pass you, there are things you can't do. Sorry for asking you. Are you up to 50 now? Okay, you are still young. If you are not up to 50, you are still young. You don't know what God did for you if you are not up to 50 years. Your waist is not yet paying you. This way we are praying. And guess what? If you don't pray and labor into your destiny, just because you are 70 has not... God doesn't consider old people. You know, this is old people. Come and stand on this line. Everybody stands on the same line, pays the same price. If you don't pay it when you have the strength, a day will come, you will be weak. That's what they told Peter. And they will carry you where you don't want to go. The time is now, Zambia. There is something brooding. And listen, beyond the subjective context, there is a corporate move of God that can come in a land and in a territory. And many times, it's not necessarily because of how much you have prayed, but because you are able to discern what God is doing in the spirit. When you pipe in that season, you become a leading voice in what God wants to do. Listen, I'm prophesying to you. When you miss that season, you will come 10 or 5 years later and do more than what you are doing now, and nothing will happen. Because you are laboring out of season. And the scripture said, the labor of a fool wearies him. Why? He doesn't know how to get to the city. May God bless you with wisdom in the name of Jesus. Solomon used his life to test the things that work. Sir, have you drank wine, red wine? They gave me one wine. My God. Have you drank red wine before? I want somebody, you have drank red wine. Jesus. You have taken red wine before. Before you drank the red wine, Solomon has used his life to test it. He drank the red one, drank the white one, drank the blue one. When he finished, he said, don't drink wine. It will make you too. But you refuse. This man refused. He still drank his own. You see, that's the problem with humanity. They want to test themselves. Waste time that is not necessary. The wisdom of God powering your destiny is superior to human experiences. You can only be making mistakes and doing trial and error. There is a spirit of wisdom. When it comes, it gives you an assured steps. You know that this path you are taking will lead you to the high places of your destiny. I pray for you again. God will give you wisdom in the name of Jesus. Wisdom is not... You see, what people call wisdom is not wisdom. Wisdom is not necessarily in words. It was the scripture that spoke to us. He said that we know wisdom by his, her children. That's the fruit. When you say you are wise, you speak good words, and people say, wow, this is a wise man. Look at the way he's speaking. You look at his life, tattered. Satan has bastardized him. A man that can't pray is not wise. He said, prove you are not, but you think you are wise. The demons in your family, they are wiser than you. So they will allow you to be speaking big English, and they will hold you bound. They'll say, look at this foolish person. Keep speaking grammar now. When you are actually wise, you labor in prayer. Wise men pray because they know that what powers destiny is beyond this realm. There are times you labor, do everything you know within your might, and still you are not getting what you are supposed to get. You have to travel. There is an ancient wisdom. And many times when it begins to manifest according to the scripture, it can look like foolishness. That is why the scripture said that God has chosen the best things of life so that from his manifestation, he can confirm the wisdom of the wise. The intention of God in operating that way is to make sure that Satan has nothing on your destiny. God keeps your destiny in quotes, secrets and mystery, so that the greatest... What do they call herbalists? Do they use the word herbalist here? The greatest herbalist or witchcraft cannot touch your destiny. That is why we press into God, so that we can open it. It is not hidden away from you. It is hidden for you. The problem is that you need to search it out. You see it? It is hidden in such a way that nobody can look and know what you will become tomorrow. I'm a living witness. My 100 level in the university, we had, that's what we call first year, the 100 level, first year. They now said that we are acting movie to do our whatever. Pastor, they looked at me. No, they are giving what you will act in the movie, in the drama. Let me use drama. They looked at me. You know what they gave me to act? Satan. You see, now assuming you are the one choosing the cast. So assuming the one, you are choosing the cast of a drama. And you look at somebody, I'm not dark. I thought Satan used to be dark, at least in our story. How did somebody look at me and say I should act Satan? They are looking at your head. The way things have shaped you, the way you have suffered, they look at you and say, nothing good will come out of this one. Let him, Satan. But there is a wisdom. If you will pray, it will come out. There is a power. Listen to me. You will not remain the same. Satan doesn't know what is coming. You will yet arrive. You will arrive. You will arrive on the wings of priesthood. Powers that have held you bound, they will see you and cringe and cripple, because there is a might of God that is about to be manifest. I speak to you by God. If I be a man of God, you will not remain the same. There is somebody standing here. Satan has bound you for long. I mean the power of witchcraft. As I speak now, the power of God will liberate you. Father, in the name of Jesus, fight that person now. Fight that person. Fight that person. Help me. Bring him here. Lift up your hands wherever you are. Anything that is an obstruction to your advancement, pray in the next 1 minute. They cripple here now. You are not praying.
Shakata balata. Lord, I pray. But anything, Lord, in my life, I pray in the name of Jesus. Shaka balata. Ikopala skutela. Ikwana namande kapala. Le palus ketaya.
Shipoy.
In Jesus' name, you can be seated. Oh my God. Fire will fall and Satan can't stop it. The reason why Satan is doing as if he's powerful is because God has not arrived. Put your hands stronger, Holy Ghost. If you are here, shout fire. I feel a tornado. Oh my God. Jesus Christ, what is this? Oh my God. In Jesus' name, listen, be seated. Let's hear the word of God small. They will carry some people home today. You can't walk back. I'm telling you, they will need to carry you. They need to carry you. Because the glory descends, they will carry you. I see Jesus seated on the throne. I see his angels ascending everywhere. I see the Spirit fixing things again.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I see Jesus seated on the throne. I see his angels ascending everywhere. I see the Spirit. Asopai kamora hante. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, we've come to see you. We've come to drink from you again. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, we've come to see you. Oh my God, Zambia, it's your time. It's your time. It's your time. My compara hampela tasol. Isaperia kama hampela. Oh. Oh. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. We've come to see you. We've come to drink from you again. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, we've come to see you. Oh Jesus, we've come to drink from you again. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, we've come to see you. Oh my God, we've come to drink from you again. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Australia, Pariaka Papora Sate. I see Jesus seated on the throne. I see his angels ascending everywhere. Angels everywhere in Zambia. I see the Spirit fixing things again. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I see Jesus. Oh my God. I see Jesus. Oh my God, oh my God. I see his angels ascending everywhere. I see the Holy Ghost fixing things again.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus. You can be seated. Let me hear the keyboard a little. If you know what God sent you to do upon the face of the earth, then you will know the tremendous energy it takes for you to come out. Several people are carrying destinies that can power cities, but they are not aware. Several things they are carrying in their womb will die with them because they don't know the energy it takes for things to be bettered. Before the destiny of Jesus came upon the face of the earth, there was a woman called Anna. She was there in the temple. For 40 years, she tarried there. She groaned, sighed, and travailed. That is what it takes to bear the destiny of Jesus. In my own opinion, Mary is not the mother of Jesus. You cannot bear great destinies without travail. Something needs to happen. Wombs of destiny need to be bettered. That is what it takes to carry divine things. When Simeon came, the scripture told us that Simeon was in the temple. When Jesus was born, he was brought there, and the Bible said that Simeon came by the Spirit. Many other people came there just to see somebody that was born, but Simeon came by the Spirit because he was holding the template of the destiny of that young man. He was the one that carried it to pet it. I pray that as many people that will tarry to pay the destiny of this nation, that your names will be written in the archives of eternity. Power and authority will be granted to you. When Simeon appeared there, he said, "Now lettest thou thy servant to depart in peace." This is a man that is a custodian of scrolls in heaven. He knew the things about the destiny of that young man more than the father, Joseph. Grant me access to scrolls. Grant me. Let it open. Let it open. Let it open. Until a man eats a scroll, he doesn't have anything to tell his generation. Prophets prophesy because they have eaten scrolls in the spirit. If not, what will be delivered to your generation are mere words of men. Meanwhile, when Jesus appeared, he said that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life, from the powers of energy and life. Jesus began to dispense. We need to trap that dimension. Please be seated. Be seated. It was Solomon that said that life is a vexation of spirit. It was there that we found out that people don't just come and live upon the face of the earth. There are scrolls that they download and begin to live after it. If not, you will just appear and they will reckon you like another person that came upon the face of the earth. You lived and died, and that's what they accorded to you. Meanwhile, the man that was written in eternity, according to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, he said that before you entered your mother's womb, I knew thee, and it was there that I ordained thee a prophet. Your ordination did not come in time. Your ordination was a concept of eternity. How can you come in time and die like a mere man? The scripture said, I say unto you, ye are gods. But if you don't tarry to bet your destiny, you will die like a normal man. I will not die like this. I can't end like this. No. No, 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 no. Say! Say! I will not end like this. There is more about my life. Satan cannot convince me. Circumstances cannot convince me, sir. No! There is more. I insist. You have to insist, then it will open. In Jesus' name, be seated. There are seven young men here. I want to pray for them. God is putting on them a portion of my spirit. Father, find them now. Fire. Bring them for me. Bring them for me here. You better pray wherever you are now. Don't miss this moment. Listen to me, three of you. God wants to use one of the three of you. Come inside here. The three of you, join hands together. Don't, no, go back. Stand at the door. Don't worry. The power of God will reach you. Join hands together, three of you.
Just make sure they don't break the glass. Three of you, join us. Father, in the name of Jesus, find that young man amongst them. Close your eyes. Stop looking at me. Father, find the person. Find the person at the count of three. One, two, three. Push. Wherever you are, pray for 1 minute only. Just 1 minute. Cry your heart out. Don't allow this move to pass me. I can't again in the next 5 minutes. Be checking your time. You can be seated, please. Acts chapter 6. I want to show you something quickly. Don't worry, be seated. There is a problem. Be seated here. Look at me. There is one of you here that is a prophet. Don't tell me. And if there is a prophet amongst you, even if you have already started, watch it from now. The prophetic is beyond the gift. There is authority. God will both increase authority and intensity of the gift. But there is one. But if you are already one, He will increase your authority. Listen, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come by the office of my calling. I ask you to find that prophet. Find that prophet. Find that prophet. Find that prophet. In Jesus' mighty name. Listen. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Please be seated. Open to the book of Acts chapter 6. Oya, read.
Acts chapter 6 from verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
Now, if you are there with me, can we read verse 4 together? 1, 2, ready, go.
But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
Now, listen to me. From this scripture, something is evident. Now, there is a difference from just praying and giving yourself to prayer. Don't worry, don't force them. Don't force them. They will go back. I have told them. Except the people, they will go back. There is a difference between praying and giving yourself over to prayer. Are you seeing it now? It means that prayer has possessed you. One day I came back from a prayer meeting. My mother looked at me and said that prayer has made me mad now. It means that prayer has possessed you. You know the way you breathe, sir? You breathe like this. If I'm breathing, it's prayer. Sometimes I will start praying. I don't know that I've started praying. Sometimes I'll be sleeping in my sleep. I'm praying for hours. And then I'll wake up with tongues in my mouth. I woke up like this. I will now realize. Sometimes I've prayed for some minutes before I've realized I'm praying. Say after me, give. Ourselves to prayer. It's two different layers. If prayer owns you, nothing else can own you at the same time. Are you seeing it? Now, the reason why I have to read here is because this is the apostolic template. Listen to me. Okay, I think I need to add another scripture to make this thing robust, because something was happening in this instance. The disadvantage of ministerial growth was found in this scripture. Now, ministerial growth is not a bad thing, but the disadvantage of ministerial growth was manifest here because such arguments started. This person started, when they were sharing food, they gave me 2 meats. This person gave me, they even told me to sit at the back. When the apostle saw this thing, they said, let's do something about it before it become another matter. Because the man that sent us commissioned us with two weapons. And he said, the word and what? Prayer. Suddenly things has come around to distract us from the main thing. Meanwhile, those things are legitimate things. I want to put it to you. Legitimate things doesn't mean that it is important before God. Things can be humanly legitimate, but it is counterproductive to your destiny. And I put it to you that many times when you begin to take accurate and decisive steps towards what will take you to the manifestation of the calling and ordination in your life, Satan will bring, he will bring things that are legitimate, because he knew that you are intelligent enough to know that if he brings something illegitimate, that you will know he is the one. Are you seeing it now? So he will bring things that are legitimate so that you can give it as an excuse. I'll now ask you, why are you not fasting? You will now say, Apostle, I have ulcer. Ulcer is not even an excuse. Now remember, it's a legitimate excuse. You are not with me. Maybe let me stop. Apostle, I have 2 children. I'm carrying children. That's why. Is it not a legitimate excuse? Satan will keep giving you that excuse until you are 70 years old. There is legit my work. Is your work not important? That's a legitimate excuse. You know, I worked somewhere one time. It was a school I was teaching, and I was teaching small children. And I'm also serving in a particular fellowship. So I was serving in the fellowship. I was teaching. And the way they teach in Nigeria, primary school, private school. Oh, you are not teaching. You are like a slave. The normal teaching starts by 8 a.m. in the morning, but you will come by 6:30, 6:30. You should be there by 7. And wherever you are coming from, you should make sure you arrive before 7. That means you should be awake by 6. Assuming you are living in a place that is just typically an urban place. If you are living in Lagos, it's over for you. You can't make it. If you want to make it to work in Lagos, you have to wake up by 3 a.m., 4 a.m. The traffic is something else. If they close work by 6 before you get to your house, sometimes it's 10, 11 in the night. Huh? Are you seeing excuses? Legitimate. By the time you have finished cooking and everything and you have eaten, it's already 1 in the night. And you're about to wake up by 3, 4 a.m. again. You say, God, you know my condition. You know my... God, you know my condition. Just show me mercy and use me like this. They will just be laughing in heaven. Just, you understand my condition. Make my own price to be small. If I pray for 1 minute, let everything in this world happen. If I pray for 5 minutes, just fall down from your throne. That's what many people want. Just pray. I feel the anointing, and then you walk. Now lie. That thing is goose pimple. It's not anointing. Many things people call anointing is just goose pimple. I feel something. I feel it's goose pimple. Go and take a hot bath. It will go. When real anointing comes, it's a weight. It stays in your heart. Very heavy. There is no physical thing that can shake it off. But if we on the AC, your anointing goes. What is that? Is it anointing? You are feeling, if we increase the AC, the thing leaves. We need to investigate this, your anointing that leaves because of hot weather and cold weather. Cold weather and hot weather affects your anointing. You don't have anything. It stays. All this, your legitimate excuse does not count for anything. What did I do? I started learning how to at least speak in tongues while I'm walking. As I'm going to work, what I now did is instead of taking a bus or what we call Okada in Nigeria. What is Okada? Is commercial bikes. What do they call it here? Bonda. I need to hear you. I will take it back to Nigeria.
It's a Honda or motorbike.
Motorbike.
Yes, sir.
Ah. So this one now is commercial. Instead of paying maybe 100 naira or 50 naira and getting there in 10 minutes, you know what I will do? I will say, I will wake up by that 6 and I will decide not to pay it. I will trek. I will use that 1 hour that I'm trekking to walk and add mileage. Somebody say mileage.
Mileage.
You have driven car before now. When you drive, you are adding mileage to the car. It might not be obvious that you are already gaining mileage until something sudden happens. You will go to your bank and they will say, this guy has gained mileage in the spirit. What the only thing people recognize, man of God, is just your season of manifestation. The mileage you gained in the spirit is not obvious to people. What is obvious is the speed, is the manifestation. But the mileage you are gaining, it will not be obvious. And many times people quickly want the mileage to show. No. It has to take some time. In the next 5 minutes, join me, young man. It has to take some time. So I will be praying in tongues. If I pray for 5 minutes, I will say, Jesus. Some people even say that I'm mad on the road. Do I care? Nobody normal achieves his destiny. You can't achieve your destiny as a normal person. Even while we are in campus, people that is taking first class, they don't sleep. The best amongst us, they don't sleep. I used to wonder whether they are normal. They will just be reading around the clock. My bed will be calling me. I will be struggling. Struggling. These people are reading. There is nothing. Something about them is not normal. I want to put it to you that if you will achieve much in your destiny and in your ministry, you have to enter the abnormal mode. There is an hunger that will be imparted to you. You will be walking around the clock. Round the clock like this. I started speaking in tongues like that. And then, during break, is another 30 minutes to 1 hour. I will add. So first in the morning, 1 hour. Now, 40 minutes. How many now? 1 hour, 40 minutes. As I'm going back, I will trek again. It's now 2 hours, what? 40 minutes. If I come back, as they are moving around, I add another 1 hour. It's already 3 hours. In the night, I'll be looking for how to shorten my day, shorten my discussion. All that time that you come, they will say, Daddy, welcome. And then you will now be doing father of the house for like 5 hours. 5 hours wasted. Just check it. What am I supposed to do now if I come back? Speak with the children. It will do this one. Once you are through, if you want to sleep, sleep. An elderly man of God advised us and said that for you to be effective in night watches, you need to take at least 2 to 3 hours sleep. But you just carry yourself, go, and say, Apostle, I can't wake in the night. Why will you wake? You just ate one big plate of food and just slept by 11 and you want to wake by 12. How? You are a human being. And many times, God will show you that you are still human. That the only reason why you are able to do the things you are doing that is supernatural is because there is a supernatural personality within you. The day that person is not working, you will still be a normal human being. And it is good for you so that people will be able to relate with your humanity. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Are you blessed?
Amen.
If you are no more blessed, tell me, let me stop. Just say, Apostle, I'm no more blessed. I will stop and then I will go. It's not by force. Reduce a little. I will go with my container. I will not go. Let's add one more scripture to that our scripture. I hope I'm not. Maybe I will stop in the next 30 minutes. So, is it okay? 30 more minutes. Is it okay? Huh? Okay, so. You know, I put it to you that you are not even ready to withstand what I can do, what we can do for all night. You just think you can, you are not. That's why it's even good. We are building. If you stay with me and pray for 7 hours, it's opening prayer. So I want to ask, I ask questions. That's why I have advanced in God. Because I need to ask, what is opening prayer when heaven has not opened? It is opening prayer because something opened. You just did something for 10 minutes and say, hey, let's go for worship. Meanwhile, the heaven is still closed. And you are advancing. You will do that service in the flesh. Nothing will happen. Some of the time, witches and wizards will come and sit on the meeting. Somebody will be in that meeting and is oppressed. He will go with his sinful lifestyle. He's in the same meeting. Heaven has not opened. Do you know what it takes to open the heaven over a city? You don't know. There is something here that is the medical people call it serratus arterium. It's a muscle. If you laugh, if your serratus arterium tears, you can't laugh, you can't smile, you can't even do like, you just be walking like this. I have groaned and travailed until the serratus arterium, it tore many places. And they are telling me to stop. I say, I can't stop. I've gone too far. It's either I touch you. It's better I die now. What is the purpose of life? Are we coming from that and still live a normal life? God forbid. My brother, I don't want to be normal. But you see, and it's possible in God. What do you want? What do you seek? Pastor, don't mind me. There is something, there is a combustible machine inside of me. It doesn't stay quiet. I'm normally a quiet person. But what that engine has made me, I'm no more quiet. Well, I like to be quiet and gentle, but the thing is boiling.
be boiling. It will be boiling.
See, what is this? That's when I found out there is a mode. Don't worry, sir. Sit down. There is a mode you need to take to achieve your destiny. Jesus will help us in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, lift up your hands. Just pray in tongues for 30 seconds. Just 30 seconds. Close your eyes. Don't stand. Just sit. Sit. Don't worry. Sit. Close your eyes and pray for 30 seconds. Please. Take this prayer. Any instruction I give you, just do it. Just do it. The Holy Spirit is moving and is aware of all these things. No. Who is speaking? No. Fifteen more seconds. If you are outside, you are not outside. Even if you are in the overflow outside the building, you are part of this meeting. Five more seconds. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to read a scripture here to join with what we read in the book of Acts chapter 6. Please turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. When we combine the scripture, we can get a perspective. And from there, we take a little journey. The things of the Spirit can only be comprehended spiritually. And that's why you need to follow me. Pay attention. Let's see verse 42 of the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So you see here, when we read in the book of Acts chapter 6, the scripture told us that a season came because of growth. There are certain challenges that came up. But the apostles were disciplined and focused enough to understand that there are building blocks to the move of God. There are two key channels. There are two key instruments that the Holy Spirit used as a conveyor of his move in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Because the study of the Acts of the Apostles, part of the reason, the book of Acts did not fully explain to us the doctrines of the scripture, but it gave us a pattern and a template. Are you with me now? That pattern and template formed the basis of our opinion. It means that it is the boundary of the expected experience of a man that walked accurately. So if it is true that your journey is accurate, you should start seeing the things that is seen in the book of Acts in your life. Several of their testimonies should become part of your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, listen. The scripture said there that I think Paul, when he came to Ephesus, he said that so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You see, so that means in the city of Ephesus, there was a move of the world. So there are two major moves that are the foundational pillars of God's construction in every life, in every church, and in every city and a nation. And those two moves are the convergence of the move of the word of God and the move of prayer. This is the way God moves. Now listen to me. But the reason why I want to present prayer to you as the first thing that you need to focus on is this.
You see, prayer is like a precursor. I'm trying to explain this scripture now. Prayer is like a precursor. Prayer is there before prayer kickstarts something, sustains it, and ends it. And that is why it's very important. Listen, the viability and vitality that is found within the scriptures that makes it the living word of God might not be experienced until something eats it from heaven. And that thing might just be a consequence of a working prayer altar. When your prayer altar is alive, then the word of God is alive. Are you seeing it now? Now, it is that word of God that is alive that have the capacity to build men. So that means we have to pray first to quicken the word. If the word of God is not quickened, it will remain a logos. But what God is interested is for you to encounter the rhema. And the end point of encounter with the rhema of the word of God is for you to become a living epistle, a living logos. That means the same thing that was on the pages of the scripture is now in the pages of your heart. That was the promise. The word of God in the book of Ezekiel, he said, I will now write this commandment on the fleshly heart, your heart now. It means that your vessel is a container of divine ordinances. Several things that people read as a letter in the Bible, they will see you living it. It will mean on that day that somebody is a living dimension of what is contained as letters in the scripture. Remember, the Bible said that the letter killeth, but the spirit. So that means something needs to happen to the word of God to move it from letters to spirit. If you read this Bible like this, if you read it for 30 years, it doesn't mean that you have grown. Reading the Bible 5 times in a year, finishing it 5 times, doesn't make you worded. That's not what it means to be worded. No, that's not. I need to clear that thing now. What it means that you are worded is that the word actually tabernacled in your heart. That is what it means to be worded. And several times for that thing to happen, you have to labor in prayer and fasting. So that the same ancient word, the vitality, the life and wisdom that was in it. Because when God speaks, he speaks himself. You see, when you speak, people think that is why in the scripture, your word is your oath. That's how the Bible says. In the ancient time, when a man gives you his word, he gave you himself. That's how God functions. If God wants to walk, he doesn't move a chair. He speaks. So when God speaks, he has walked. The words of God, the words of God are the works of God. And that is why if you are reading the word of God and you are not seeing the works that should come from it, it means that something happened in between. And to compensate for the lack of works that should come as a result of interaction with the word of God, you need to give yourself to prayer and priesthood so that that dimension will be activated. It is when the word becomes alive that the works can be seen in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Now, these two dimensions of the move of God, you see, when you pray, it kickstarts the move of God. God will not do anything until he finds people that can pray. This nation, the prophecy over this nation, this church, your life will just come and go until somebody prays. Praying people are more important to God than any other kind of people. Because when you pray, every other thing works well, starts working. Prayer is a precursor. That is why the scripture told us in the book of James that Elijah is a man of like passions. And what did he do? He prayed. So it means that the mantle Elijah is carrying is likened to the prayer mantle. The James, the apostle, summarized the ministry of Elijah and called it the prayer ministry. So actually, what the ministry of Elijah is seen in the spirit is prayer, is prayer, is prayer. And that is why when John the Baptist appeared, the scripture said that he came in the spirit and what? Power of Elijah. It means that the same mantle of prayer has reappeared. And the scripture made us understand that Elijah, that John the Baptist is the one that brought Jesus to the scene. We called him the forerunner. Is it not true? It means that prayer is the forerunner of the move of God. Listen to me. When men begin to pray, especially when they don't bring selfish prayer points, God give me new hair. What are you doing with new hair? What's that thing?
God, take my new hair, use me. If this my new hair, all the time you are thinking about hair, thinking about shoe, thinking about cream, thinking about when you go to heaven, they are not aware of thinking about new suit, new job, food that I will eat. My brother, leave food so that food will not kill you. Leave it. Leave food. Leave food alone so that it will leave you alone. Just eat for necessity. The Bible calls it necessary food. You are eating for necessity so that you will keep. Are you getting the point? Not when the thing is food. You now know. No. You can't make. You'll be too heavy physically to advance spiritually. If you don't have food to eat, as a young man, convert it to fasting. All of us did it. Do you know how many years I converted hunger to fasting? Somebody came and met me and said, Apostle, you are looking fresh. I said, God, show this young man, show him. He said, Apostle, I want what is on your life. I said, what exactly do you want? Be careful what you are praying for. Because once you pray, if God answers it, you will suffer brutally for 5 years just to check you. Not as if they have not written your name, just to check you. With fasting. I fasted a minimum of 300 days for 10 years. Apostle, I want something on your life. Be careful what you are praying. Are you sure? What you are saying, Lord, banish food. Banish no more food for me. No more sleep. No more enjoyment. No more movie. No more chatting. No more. So you are now with me. So you will not pray that prayer. This I'm sure you will not pray. What you pray, God, give me my small. That small one you called me, just give me. Is enough for me. Give me my small one. But if you are willing to be heavy in God, you are going to pay the price. I'm not coming to Zambia to exempt you from the sacrifice of the kingdom. Every great man, no matter what I bring here, if this nation will trap it, they must learn priesthood. If not, if I'm living, I live with it. I'm teaching you people a secret that many people will not teach you. They will just come, wow, you things we have with them, wow, and then you go. After 2 weeks, you look for it, you can't see it. That means you did not learn how to trap it. It takes priesthood and practice to trap things from the spirit. You need to make it your own. Yes, he worked in apostle. Thank God we need to make it our own here. Listen. So, the apostles began to pray. Remember, according to scripture and from my experience, and if you have had more experience in spiritual things, you will know that it is true too. The hardest thing to do as a believer is to pray. I mean, the prayer that the Holy Spirit is aware of. I hope you know you can pray in the flesh. God is not aware. The hardest thing to do is to pray. Very hard. When you see a man that has conquered this prayer, remove your cap for the person. Tell the person, you have tried. Because prayer is not easy. Even for elderly people in the ministry, they are still afraid of prayer. They can read their Bible or read Bible, because the mind is intelligent. The mind is hungry. Your mind is hungry. So you can actually read the Bible. You can read it. But prayer does not appeal to anything natural. Are you seeing it? And anytime there is nothing in the natural that your spiritual engagement is appealing to, there is a frustration there. Are you seeing it? Sometimes when we read the Bible, even if we are not getting revelation, we are contented with the fact that we are being exposed to new language. You know, knowledge now. You are stumbling on new things about God. You are reading books. There are people that have read 100 spiritual books. You are still down on the ground. Are you not tired? When one of the books start working in your life, that's the important thing. It takes prayer to convert that thing that is a material to a living witness. What we need is people that will walk the earth as living witnesses, conduits of divine life and energy. They have gone to the Bible and did something to the Bible, and the Bible is living in their life.
That is what it means for you to be a witness unto. It takes priesthood to convert it. I told you people yesterday that the distance between the things that God spoke about your life and his manifestation is priesthood. Cover me with your glory. Elderly women, these people I'm talking about, they are elderly. The Lord gave you people an intercessory ministry, but somehow you have not yielded to it. And one of you has a strong prophetic, your dreams are powerful. Bring them for me. Bring them for me. Three elderly women. The people I'm talking about, they are over 40 years. They are over 40 years. Three of them. Three of them. God is restoring you now. God is restoring you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me and find them by fire. Bring them for me. Ushers, anybody that bring. The Lord will use you from today. From today. It's coming stronger, 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 stronger. Any power that held your destiny, calling ministry, any spirit, python that swallowed your giftings, is vomiting it now by fire.
There is one more woman. There is a woman. They're not all. There is a woman. Thank God for these three people. But the people I'm talking about,
oh my God,
one of you is not yet out. One of you, Father, by your power, help me and find the person. Help me and find. Scan the auditorium. Help me and find. 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 Holy Ghost. Bring the woman. There are women, older women, that God is granting a serious intercessory ministry. Your grace and giftings, they are restored right now, 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 right now. Whether you are not sure or not, bring the person to me. Bring that woman on a yellow cap. Bring her for me. Happen after now. Listen to me. I'm looking for somebody just on this stretch road, just this place. If you are standing, can you see me? These people here. The person behind you, just put your hands on the hand, put your hand on the back of the person behind you. Keep your Bible down. Keep your Bible down. Be fast. Just on this row. Ushers, make sure nobody joins. Just on this row. Just on this row. Come out. Ushers, I didn't say you should enter. Come out, please. Just this row. Just this row. Why are people entering there? Come out, usher. Come out. Why am I seeing yellow people? Let there be space like this. Come out, usher. Come out. You are not the one. The person on your head. Enter like good. Look at me. Look at me. You are supposed to look at me. He's supposed to hold you. Yes, hold him. Father, in the name of Jesus, at the count of three, move through this line now. Let your glory and power locate them. One, two, three, touch! It's coming. Touch, 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 touch. It's moving like electricity through that line, through that line. It's moving. It's moving. If you are a pastor here, I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Receive a shift in the name of Jesus. By the unction upon my life, I bring you to a new level of ministry. Ministry is done at several levels. There is nothing you do in this world that can give you the result of another level. If you are there, you are there. If you are not, you are not. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom I serve, I stand by the unction of the apostolic. I give you a shift now in the name of Jesus. I give you a shift in the name of Jesus. I
I give you a shift in the name of Jesus.
Oh, pastor is coming.
I give you a shift in the name of Jesus.
The Lord is healing the sick already. Oh my God, several things are happening. I see somebody with a very excruciating pain at this right side of your body. The Lord is healing you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. There is somebody with difficulty in walking. You have something happened to you on your left leg. The Lord is healing you in the name of Jesus. My God, be seated, be seated. Let me teach you one more thing, my God. If you are sick, be sensitive. Even if you are not the one and you are standing here for somebody, the person is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Believe me, if I say something, believe it. Hope is the blueprint of faith. That means that faith travels in the direction of hope. Your expectation is what we deliver to you, the substance. And the substance is faith. If you don't have expectation in your heart, there is nothing that substance will deliver to you. So listen, according to the scripture, my brother, join me in 5 more minutes so that I want to lay one or two doctrinal foundations so that we'll be able to fly. Don't worry, in the next 10 minutes, we are going to fly. Oh my God. I think, thank God, we have one more week. We have the week to go. As I was coming, I was hoping, I was praying, I was asking God, is it that I came with too much or what? Because you need to tell people to come on. Go and bring people. Don't, you are not a good person to deny people of this opportunity. Normally, when you hold this kind of meeting, pastors bring their members. After the meeting, your members can go back. Because if you bring your member, your labors will reduce for you. Something will happen for them. You notice that doing ministry over them will become easier. Stop begging them to pray. Stop begging them to give. Stop begging them to be holy. Because something has entered them. All you will now be doing as a pastor is giving them guide. Do it like this. Behave like this. He asks you, what is the meaning of this? He's telling me, your work becomes, it's not every day. You pray, your destiny depends on prayer. They'll be looking at you and say, this man, finish this thing. Let me go and eat my food. Stop struggling. Ministry is not struggle. Anyway, that's by the way. Amen? Let me come back to what I'm saying. The scripture told us that they continued in the apostles' doctrine. You see, the first question you ask when you see this kind of scripture is, what exactly is the apostles' doctrine? If you're here with me, say amen.
Amen.
The apostles' doctrine has a simple explanation. It is simply what the apostles taught about what they perceived about Jesus. Listen. There are two categories of witness that the scripture gave us in the Bible. According to the book of Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 1, I hope you know that it's the same person that wrote the book of Acts, that wrote the book of Luke. And the person that wrote the book of Luke, when he was writing the book of Luke, he said that, let me paraphrase so that it will help you to understand. He said, in the days that Jesus lived, he was very popular. And because of that, many people wrote many things concerning Jesus. Even the newspapers were writing about Jesus, whether they know what happened or what they don't. Just that Jesus sells newspaper. Anytime you write Jesus on the newspaper, people will buy it. So if you are a journalist, won't you be writing about Jesus? Are you seeing it? So several people have several things and accounts that they had about Jesus. So one day, a man, the doctor Luke, came out. He said that I have credentials as a spiritual scribe. There's what we call scribes in the spirit. So that I can record the account of what really happened. Because the doctor Luke was first of all a disciple of the apostle Peter. And after some time, he became also a disciple of the apostle Paul. And that is why you will find out that these two, the whole of the Acts of the Apostles is mostly like, is divided between the ministry of Paul and Peter. And it's one person that wrote it. And he wrote it so clearly and so flowing that there was no break. It means that he actually sat down under these two ministry, and that's why he was able to bring context properly. So he said, I'm having been with the people that had an eyewitness account of what really happened, I decided to set things in order. Say after me, set things in order. That means that the qualification that he received to be able to write what he wrote in the book of Luke was because he was a witness. But he is a certain kind of witness. What it takes for you to give an accurate account of an event that took place is to be an eyewitness. Somebody that did not come to this meeting can see the video, tell a lot of stories about what happened. But does the person have an eyewitness account? If you bring the person to a court of law to bring evidence for and against a matter, his capacity in giving evidence will not be much. It will be heavier. So when you come to a court of law and you are an eyewitness of an event, your capacity in evidence is much. Are you seeing it? So these men are saying, even though several people said many things, some of them are correct, but we were there. And because we are there, we have received within us a capacity to give a witness concerning this matter. So the first level of witness is what we call, say after me, eyewitness. So later on in the same book of Luke, in the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 49, the scripture said, tarry ye in Jerusalem, and ye shall be endued with power from on high. So after that, you go to the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye will be witnesses unto me. So this one now is not just an eyewitness. He is a living witness. Now, let me tell you. According to the scripture, the first one is called witnesses of. The second one is called witnesses unto. Let's say it. One, two, ready, go. Witnesses of. The second one, what? Witnesses unto. So you see it now. That means that beyond the fact that you were in the meeting, something happened to you. We finished a prayer meeting in Lagos. Lagos is the biggest city in Nigeria. One of the biggest in Africa. People that left the meeting, they were drunk with the Holy Ghost and groaning in vehicles, transport vehicles. So they just packed them inside the vehicle and they are going. One person was leading them. Somebody that didn't know who they were asked them, did you attend this program? They said yes. You see it? They didn't need to speak for you to know that they came for a program. What was flowing from their life can only take place in a certain location. So it means that the outflow of their life is now a witness of someone or something. Are you seeing it now? So they didn't need to speak for you to know that they are representing somebody. Meanwhile, the first one is the one I'm interested in. Because several things that the apostles taught was because they heard it from the mouth of Jesus. You see, no matter how much we try, there are several things that we have to hear from them because they heard from Jesus. And there are several teachings that Jesus gave them that he called them aside. Is it not true? Jesus called the apostles aside and taught them certain things. A typical example is the one that happened in the book of Matthew chapter 16. The Bible said that Jesus came and said, ask the people and said, whom do you say that I am? They said he is Jeremiah. They said he is. Jesus now turned to his apostles and said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter rose by the Spirit and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this thing. My Father has revealed it. My Father.
When Peter got that question correct, Jesus began to teach them. Did you notice his teaching there? He began to tell them that the Son of Man will go to Jerusalem and that he will die, he will be crucified. That kind of teaching, you can't give it to everybody. That teaching is so hard that even Peter rebuked him. Is it not true? So if Peter rebuked him from giving that kind of teaching, how much more everybody? They are teaching you can only give to your leaders. You can't give it to everybody. They can't bear it. In fact, there are several levels of teaching. I'm still checking whether I can give it to you people. Because the Bible said in the book of John chapter 16 verse 12, Jesus was the one speaking. He said, I have many things to say unto you. But my challenge is that you can't bear them. And I asked the question. I said, I taught you if you speak, what we need is to hear. When a man speaks, what do? You hear. But when Jesus speaks, you bear. So what it takes for you to hear Jesus is not your ears, is your heart. So what people need is a bearing capacity when they come to the ministry of the word. If not, you will hear many things. It will fly over your head. Your head will be big, but your heart will be small. And transformation is in the heart, not in the head. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear you. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, shout amen.
Amen.
Okay, I know how people normally respond in this kind of case. If you are first for encounter and miracle, let your amen be loudest. Let me hear you in the name of Jesus. Shout amen.
Amen.
Don't think that people shouting are foolish. You are not more mature than the person shouting. You know, some people, if they say shout, they say, amen. They want to be comported. It's not always true. Sometimes it's true, but it's not always true. Are you seeing it? Go and ask David. He dance. His wife said, look at you. A king like you, you are dancing before small girls. David said, ah, no problem. This is the way I was dancing, and God collected the crown on your father's head and put it on my own. Sometimes your foolishness can be worth something in the spirit. Sometimes. So listen, the apostles' doctrine are the things that they taught as a result of learning directly from Jesus. Are you seeing it now? It is not just what Jesus taught them, it is what Jesus lived before them. It was when the Dr. Luke came to the book of Acts chapter 1, that he balanced up for us this context that I'm passing across to you. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible said there, of all that Jesus began to what? Do and to teach. Are you seeing it? So for we to capture fully the apostolic doctrine, we have to first of all consider what Jesus did. And then we also consider what he what? Taught. It is not just what he taught, it's also what he did. Now, if it is beyond what he taught, it means that some people must have seen him doing some things. So, they taught beyond what he taught and taught what he did. The compendium of what Jesus did and taught, as was conveyed and written by the apostles, is what we call the apostles' doctrine. And that is why it takes a lot of capacity in witness for you to communicate the apostolic doctrine. Because you have to receive several revelations firsthand from Jesus. You read it from the Bible. He come and explain to you exactly what was in my mind when I was saying this thing. I know you will not believe it. You can teach revelation, teach some things and people are blessed. That's not how an apostle, a genuine apostle teaches. He doesn't just teach you revelation. He teaches you what was in the heart of God when he wrote that thing. And he will have a sphere of spiritual encounter, an atmosphere of encounter and witness strong enough to drive you into the experience of his communication. Yes. He was the one that said that Africa is like a loaded gun. Sidney Elton. Some of you need to go and read about the man. That Nigeria is the trigger and Southern Africa is the nozzle of the gun. Sidney G. Elton. You need to go and read about him. But when you appear in heaven, you don't see Sidney G. Elton run away. You are in the wrong heaven. Run away. The man came with map. South Army map. Maybe before we go, I will teach you the mystery of spiritual mapping. Things
don't just happen. You don't just appear anywhere and things happen. There are mappings in the spirit. Oh my God. Because you can appear in the spirit and say, Zambia is this country. This country is this country. God is seeing up to three countries in Southern Africa as one. Because if you check in the spirit, what affects this one affects this one. The same way, your culture, language, everything is the same. That means in the spirit, one bullet can do one work. When you shoot it from Zambia, it touches others. You didn't hear me. I will show you this mystery of spiritual mapping. Because it's the church. When we come, we say, if it's in my place, there is what we call the Protestant, like the Anglican church. They will say, this is the diocese of this one, the diocese of this one, the diocese of this one. It's human being that put that diocese. There can be two parishes in different dioceses, but in the spirit, they are in the same map. In the spirit, they are in the same location. And listen to me. Oh my God. The Church of Jesus Christ is not denominational. You can be seated. There are several ways that the scripture typify to us the church. One of them is not denominations. Denominations are the acts of men. They are not bad. It serves to achieve an aim, because every denomination, the intention of God, if it is exactly the move of God that bettered that denomination, is to supply a measure that is lacking in the body. That means one denomination lacks the capacity to bring the full measure of God's delivery for the body of Christ. Are you with me now? Are you? So if they serve their purpose well, there is something every denomination is serving to supply in the body. Are you getting the point now? But one denomination cannot do it. And because of that, God doesn't see in denomination. He sees in several places, several ways. He sees the church as a body. He sees the church as a beautiful. I will show you. So God can see the church territorially. In fact, God sees the church territorially. He doesn't see any denomination. When he comes, he says, to the church in Zambia, say unto them. Is it not in your Bible? Revelations. To the church at Ephesus, you tell them, no, we are in Libala. We are in Libala. They are not aware. We are gifted ministry in Libala, our own. What God told us for this year. Sir, sorry, but what God told you for this year is subject to what God told Zambia for the year. Listen. Now you can participate and benefit more from what God told the territory. Are you getting the point? Or you can, if it is negative, you can exempt yourself by that superior knowledge. Assuming you know what God is saying about the nation, maybe something good or bad is happening. That superior knowledge accords you the insight. And of course, if you are willing to do something to exempt yourself or to immerse yourself in the labors that will bring you into more fruitfulness, or exempt you from the impact of the negative prophecy. Are you getting the point? That's the advantage of insight. It is on that basis that you now say, God told us in this church. That's the only basis why it can work. But you cannot take what God told you and now say no. If you bring it to the territory, the same principality that is holding everybody bound is still holding people bound. And assuming your church members leave and go to work, go to the market, the same spirit will still be hanging over them. Zambia, your time has come. How many times have I said this? Your time has come. Stand up wherever you are. Let's pray for 1 minute. Ask God. The prayer is simple. Ask God. Just take me and immerse me in your move. Several understandings might come later, but don't leave me behind. As intelligent as the human mind is almost always behind in the things of the spirit. Many times we play catch up, but instead of being left behind, immerse me, then subsequently grant me understanding into what you have brought me into. Are you seeing it now? There are experiences that is superior to our understanding. Can we pray in the name of Jesus Christ in the next 1 minute and ask God, immerse me, immerse me, immerse me.
Are there 50 people here?
Lay hands on everybody here if it's possible, but if it's not possible, we'll find another way. Listen, the Lord is telling me he wants to heal the sick, and if there is anybody sick, bring them, no matter the illness. Tomorrow, bring them. Once they even enter this auditorium, they will be healed. Now listen, if you are here since we started, and when I release the word of the Lord and you notice that you are healed, I want to take 5 testimonies in the next 5 minutes. You will need to rush out here. Come to this point. Let's take your testimony. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Come here, come here. You are healed. Run out quickly. You can stand here. Who can help me? Is there a pastor that will come and help me and check them? Check them. Listen to me. If you are sick, put your hands at that part of your body now. If I say in the name of Jesus, you say amen. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit of infirmity. My God. In the name of Jesus, I charge you spirits. Out! Out! I declare the healing power of God to come upon you right now. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. You are healed. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Just check yourself. Check yourself. I want to take... Are you healed, sister? What's happening? Usher, what's happening? Who is happening? Okay. What happened? What happened? Take her away. Except she's healed. If she's healed, take her here. Take her here. What happened?
This one, he was
I'm not hearing you. Wait. What's happened?
Okay. He was believing God for the encounter of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm looking for healing miracle. Please. But God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come and check her. What happened? Come and check her. What happened?
She had a strong stomach pain and it has just left.
Since when? Since when?
And it has stayed for months.
For months?
Yes.
So what happened now?
When you prayed, she felt it and then it left.
Can somebody clap for Jesus Christ? Please come to this side so I can pray for you. Look at me. Put your hands. Look at me. Look at me. Come and put this mic on my mouth. Look at me. So, can somebody clap for Jesus? Who else? Who else? What happened, mommy?
She has been struggling to walk. But today, she feels the strength in
listen, her listen, let me hear her. Let me hear her. Give her the money. What happened?
I'm a sugar person. I'm
okay.
A diabetic.
Okay.
But I've got problems with my leg.
Okay.
But this right leg today, I've felt that strength.
Can somebody clap for Jesus Christ? Come, your healing is permanent. My God. I want somebody to be holding this mic for me. I caused that diabetes. Now you will go to hospital, they will tell you it's over. Look at my eyes. The fire of God is entering you now. The pains are going. Just keep her on the ground. Allow her to lie. The power of God is on her. Allow her quietly. Father, walk on her. Thank you, Jesus. What happened? What happened? Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. What happened?
Apostle, sir, this young man had a back pain for over
too young
a month.
For you to have back pain. What did you do? Okay, so what happened now?
He actually says the moment he started ministering, the back pain disappeared.
Can
he
somebody can no clap for Jesus? Right now, come. Your healing is permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. One more testimony as we go. One more. Okay, what happened, sir?
Yes, sir. He had the back pain that has stayed close to
since
1 year.
Let me hear him. Since when? How long?
It's been almost a year.
A year?
It started in my office.
Wow.
From my leg, when I wanted to move, the leg started paining.
Hmm.
Then it joined the waist.
Yes.
Yesterday, because of standing and praying too
much,
I didn't sleep on the bed because there. It was paining. I went on the floor the whole night.
What of in this program? Because I saw you initially sitting
when
down.
When I came here, I was failing to stand.
Yes, I saw it.
But now... I have no pain.
Can somebody clap for Jesus? Listen. I especially saw him and I'm wondering why is he not standing? So I was asking and the Holy Spirit told me there is a sickness there that it will go. Come. Let's clap for Jesus Christ. Every arrow that sent and shot, we return it back to sender. From today, be fully restored, spirit, soul, and body. Come and check her. What happened? Come and check her. What happened?
She had a strong stomach pain and it has just left.
Since when? Since when?
And it has stayed for months.
For months?
Yes.
So what happened now?
When you prayed, she felt it and then it left.
Can somebody clap for Jesus Christ? Please come to this side so I can pray for you. Look at me. Put your hands. Look at me. Look at me. Come and put this mic on my mouth. Look at me. So can somebody clap for Jesus? Who else? Who else? What happened, mommy? She has been struggling to walk. But today she feels the strength in
listen,
her
listen, let me hear her. Let me hear her. Give her the money. What happened?
Me, I'm a sugar person. I'm
okay.
A diabetic.
Okay.
But I've got problems with my leg.
Okay.
But this right leg today, I've felt that strength.
Can somebody clap for Jesus Christ? Come, your healing is permanent. My God. I want somebody to be holding this mic for me. I caused that diabetes. Now you will go to hospital, they will tell you it's over. Look at my eyes. The fire of God is entering you now. The pains are going. Just keep her on the ground. Allow her to lie. The power of God is on her. Allow her quietly. Father, walk on her. Thank you, Jesus. What happened? What clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. What happened?
Apostle sir, this young man had a back pain for over
too young
a month.
For you to have back pain. What did you do? Okay, so what happened now?
He actually says the moment he started ministering, the back pain disappeared.